IPR podcast update number 2.
Work has begun on Canada's Information Highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. How much construction has been done?
We haven't had to do any construction, actually. Mostly it was just getting servers to host all of these audio files and then software to be able to deliver the podcast to the listening public.
And where does a satellite fit in then?
There's no plan to use satellites at the moment.
For more information, visit CIPR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
All right, you are listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down. My name is Marielle. It's just a few minutes past 1 o'clock. There's just way too much going on for me today. I ran into the station like 10 minutes ago. So things just aren't... It's just my day's been really busy. And it's a good thing that I have half of my show pre-recorded today then, right? Yes, yes. I have an interview that I'm going to play at about the halfway mark of my show that will run for about like 25 minutes. But it's all 25 minutes of awesomeness. I can guarantee that. I got the chance to interview Jeremy, who is the guitarist from Comeback Kid, and he is also the guitarist from Figure Four. So I will be airing that interview and playing some stuff by Comeback Kid and also Figure Four. And I'm playing this interview because Comeback Kid are playing a show this Saturday. Comeback Kid are opening up for Clit 45, the Dropkick Murphys, and Bad Religion. That is happening this Saturday at the Peony Forum. So, yes. Okay. I completely lost my train of thought there. But I do have some new music that I would love to share with you today. Before I get to that, I'll let you know that you can call me here in the studio at 604-822-2487. That's 822-CITR to place a request, talk, comment, whatever. I am open to all of that. And we are actually, this week at CITR, we're all trying to start up our podcasts this week, and hopefully that all goes well. I know there's been a few hiccups along the way and whatnot, but it seems to be going well so far. Yes? Maybe? So keep an ear and eye out for that in the near future, perhaps this week or next week. Podcasts of the majority of shows on CITR will be available on like iTunes and stuff like that, so that's pretty awesome. And you can like subscribe just in case you're busy during our shows and can't listen during the actual times. So that is quite awesome. That's something to look forward to. I'll stop rambling now, but I want to get to some brand new Good Riddance. Yes, they have a new album out called My Republic, and I want to play a song for you called Darkest Days. And then after that, I really don't know where I'm going. Seriously, I didn't plan my show at all today. So it will be an amazing, magical mystery tour for all of us.
Making all of my decisions based on fear. I never even cared about what
You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down, and my name is Marielle. I just played Snitches Get Stitches for you off of their album Even a Butchered Carcass Can Shine. That song was called Mom and Me at the Zoo. Before that, I played The Living End off of their newest album State of Emergency. That song was called Long Live the Weekend. I'm quite a fan of The Living End, but I'm not feeling this album completely. They put on great live shows, so it was good times. Before The Living End, I played Be Your Own Pet off of their self-titled full-length release. That song was called Fill Your Pill. And Be Your Own Pet are coming to Vancouver to play a show at Richards on Richards, October 27th. Yes? Yes, I believe so. And I started off that set with Good Riddance off of My Republic. That song was called Darkest Days. If you ever wanted to check out what I played each week on my show, I do post my playlists online at www.weallfalldowncitr.blogspot.com, which will be updated shortly, I believe. I just have to get my crap together, yo. But I'm also supposed to play a PSA at this time. Yeah. I keep losing what I want to tell you guys. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's probably just because I have so much stuff on my mind right now. But very shortly, I will be telling you about concerts. I usually tell you about concerts like 1:45, but I have to push that back today because I am going to be airing the interview that I did with Jeremy from Comeback Kid and Figure Four later on in the show. So everything has to just get pushed back a bit and rearranged and whatnot. Yes, I hope that's okay with you. Meh? Yes, I'm going to play a PSA now for a show that doesn't necessarily, might not appeal to everyone that listens to my radio show, but I quite like this band. The Easy Star All-Stars, they put out a band, they're like a reggae dub band, and what they do is like they cover albums from other bands. Like the first album they did was they covered Dark Side of the Moon, but they called it like Dub Side of the Moon or something. And now they covered, I think, Radiohead's OK Computer, and they've called it Radio Dread. And the Easy Star All-Stars are coming to Vancouver, yes, October 6th. So we'll play a little PSA for you right now, and then we'll get to some more music and then to an interview, and we'll just see how it goes from there.
Easy Star All-Stars, Friday, October 6th at Richards on Richards. The Radio Dread Tour. Tickets at all Ticketmaster outlets. Tickets also at High Life, Zulu, Salon Supreme, Caribbean Market, Vanessa Style, and Rehana's Roti. The Easy Star All-Stars Radio Dread Tour. From the group that brought you Dub Side of the Moon.
Yeah. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down. I'm your host, Marielle. That was The Video Dead. The Video Dead off of their album Brotherhood of the Dead. That song was called Like the Cover of Damaged. Before that, I played The Bronx off of their second and most recent self-titled full-length album. That song was called Rape Zombie? Rare Zombie? I don't know if that's a P or an R. It's probably a P. It's probably Rape Zombie. Yeah, and before that I played The Jolts off of the Jinx EP. That song was called Bloody Eye Socket. What was I going to do? Yes, shows coming up in the near future. Today and tomorrow, Rancid and the Aquabats are playing a show at the Croatian Cultural Center. I don't know if tonight's sold out, but I know that Friday is sold out. So if you're planning on going to that, you like better buy your tickets right now. Right now. And then this Saturday, Bad Religion, the Dropkick Murphys, Clip 45, and Comeback Kid are playing at the P&E Forum. And I will be playing my interview with Jeremy from Comeback Kid shortly. Also happening that night, you can check out Knucklehead and the Eastside Death Squad. They're playing at Pub 340 if Bad Religion and the Dropkick Murphys aren't exactly your cup of tea. Beginning of October, we have Pennywise, the Circle Jerks, Ignite, and the Brown Brigade playing two shows. The first show is October 3rd, and that is at the Christian Cultural Center. And the second is the next night, October 4th, and that show is going down at the Commodore Ballroom. Sorry. Did I read that right? Yes. Yes, I did. The next night, Alexis on Fire, Every Time I Die, and the Cancer Bats are playing at the Croatian Cultural Center October 5th. And actually, that's next Thursday. And next Thursday during my show, I'll also be playing another interview that I did with the lead singer from the Cancer Bats, Liam, and I quite enjoyed doing that interview. That was quite fun, so you definitely want to tune in next week to listen to that. The Bad Amps? Yes, the Bad Amps are playing the very last show ever at Video In Studios, October 20th. That is something you definitely don't want to miss, because seriously, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. I can guarantee that. Then a couple days later, we have Trivium, The Sword, Protest the Hero, and Seamless playing. That's October 24th at the Croatian Cultural Center. I also did an interview with Brian, the bassist from The Sword, and I'll be playing that the week before the Trivium show that they're playing. That was also quite a fun show, because I just ended up talking about like Dungeons & Dragons, Gauntlet Legends, and Lord of the Rings. And seriously, that it was one of the best interviews I'd ever done. November 4, I'm doing this one from memory. Yes, here in the Student Union Building, you can check out the Islands. The Islands, they're so cute. Oh my God. The Islands, who are ex-members of the Unicorns, are playing a show November 4th here at the Student Union, in the Student Union Building at UBC. What else is going on? Norma Jean, Between the Buried and Me, Misery Signals, and a whole bunch of other bands are playing November 10th at the Croatian Cultural Center. And in December, we have And You'll Notice by the Trail of Dead playing with the Blood Brothers in Celebration. That is happening December 10th at the Croatian Cultural Center. And when I saw And You'll Notice by the Trail of Dead play at Richards on Richards, I'd have to say that was one of the best concerts I'd ever been to. I've been to a lot. Probably not as much as a lot of you guys out there, but I've been to quite a few, and that show just really like sticks out in my memory. They put on amazing live shows, and they're playing with the Blood Brothers, so why wouldn't you go to that? Eh? Exactly. What am I going to do now? Yes, my interview with Jeremy from Comeback Kid. We talked about hardcore, and I tried to pull out some dirt on Tony Brummel, the guy who owns Victory Records. There's been a lot of crap going down with Victory, just like lawsuits, and he's gotten in trouble and he's pissing people off. And I tried to like pull some juicy gossip out of Jeremy, but he was like a wall, man, and it was so difficult. I just kept poking and prodding, but he wouldn't give in. It was disappointing. But the whole interview overall, I quite enjoyed. Yes, I will start off, before I play the interview, I'm going to play some Comeback Kid. I'm going to play Wake the Dead off of the album of the same title. And maybe when the interview is done, did I set it up? Yes, I set it up to play Figure Four after that. So without further ado, I now present the interview that I did, and it was weird, and it, I spent a lot of time on it, so just listen to it. I gotta go now, but you guys take care, and I guess you will hear from me in 1 week's time. We'll be right back. Okay, so first off, I wanted to start off by saying that I actually interviewed Andrew from your band about a year ago when you guys were touring with Strung Out. And, like, it seems that since then you guys have been constantly touring. Like, do you guys need a break? Because it's been a long time, and I always thought that bands like to take, like, a couple months break in between tours, but it seems like you guys are just going at it.
Yeah, we've been keeping ourselves pretty busy since Wake the Dead came out.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, it seems... I mean, this year hasn't been as busy as it has been in the past. Like, when we got back from Europe in April, or was it May? May.
Mm-hmm.
We had a reasonable amount of time off before we did the last tour with Gorilla Biscuits. So we had some downtime. But, yeah, sometimes you just really want to just distance yourself from, like, you know, just the hectic schedule on the road and just, like, take some time off for yourself. Like, half a year sounds really good right about now, but at the same time, we're always ready to keep going, so it's a bit of a catch-22, you know?
Yeah, true.
It's always greener on the other side.
So, do you guys think you'll be able to fit time in to record a new album or work on new songs or something?
We're in the middle of that right now, actually.
Oh, excellent.
We've got some songs written. We just got into the studio yesterday because we were doing some pre-production over the weekend, just like feeling out some new songs. So we are in the process of putting together the next record. So.
And is there like an estimated date on when that might be released?
It's really hard to say right now, but I would say probably, like, we're starting to run a little late with our whole schedule and everything, but I would think probably around like February or March we should have something that should be out once again.
Okay. So Scott actually recently left the band this past summer, and Andrew has taken over on vocals. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so was it always just assumed that Andrew was going to take over? Was there like a time when you guys thought maybe we should find a new singer or something?
Yeah, it was like the whole thing with Scott was it kind of happened quickly, but at the same time we almost saw it coming, because on the Strung Out tour we had the same situation where you couldn't do the whole tour, so Andrew filled in for part of the tour. So that's kind of where we got our first taste of Andrew fronting the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us it just seemed like the most natural thing to do, because you know, he's in the band, he's a familiar face, he's done vocals on both of the records before, so you know, people are familiar with his voice, people are familiar with him, you know, being that sort of second front man kind of thing. So
yeah,
it just seemed like the natural thing to do, putting him there rather than finding something completely new and different that, you know, had no ties to the band's previous way. So
mm-hmm. Has this changed?
That was our logic in the decision.
Oh, okay. Has this changed the band dynamic at all? Like, do you still feel like everything's the same, or does it feel like someone's missing?
Oh, no, it's definitely changed the dynamics in our band, because Andrew, he's really aggressive on stage.
Mm-hmm.
He's also like he's a really, really talented all-around musician. Like, he can, you know, he can play guitar, he can sing, and so I think for him, this, he's kind of enjoying like, you know, the whole writing process here, because you know, the stuff that he's contributing, he kind of knows how he can like work his vocal patterns around and this and that. So I think in some ways it's a lot more fluid, but at the same time, you know, there are differences, but I mean, we always look to the future and think that everything, you know, everything's going to be a positive thing for this band. You know, whatever, you know, obstacles come, we always try to, you know, overcome them and then try to take it one step further.
Nice. But Andrew also sings in the band that you're also in Figure Four, right?
Correct.
So does that make Comeback Kid feel a bit too much like Figure Four, just because you guys have like two guys from Figure Four?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a common question, a common comparison, and it's totally fair, because it's kind of like the Figure Four situation where I'm playing guitar, Andrew's fronting the band.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got so many different vocal styles, and Comeback Kid musically is just a different band. Like, for those familiar with hardcore, because Comeback Kid is just a lot more melodic,
yeah,
whereas Figure Four is just a lot more just like straight up tough, you know, kind of a band. So like vocally you're not really going to be hearing the same Andrew in both bands, you know, because he's got a wide range of things he can do. I mean, you'll be able to make comparisons.
Okay.
It definitely won't be the same band. But it's got a lot of Figure Four fans excited, because they think it
yeah,
Comeback Kid a lot heavier, but
mm-hmm. So speaking of Figure Four, are we going to see a Figure Four album or a tour anytime soon?
You're talking to someone who would really like to still be doing the band, like, you know, full-time, or at least sharing the time with Comeback Kid.
Mm-hmm.
At the say, you know, a band's a democracy, and right now we have five people that are in five completely different places, you know, in life and also in the country. So it's tough to say right now. We still, you know, we're always talking about just, like, stuff that we are interested in doing here and there. As far as, like, touring full-time, I don't know.
Okay.
As far as putting out another record, I'm not sure. I'd at least like to put out another EP, but this would all be in the future sometime. Nothing set in stone at this point.
Okay, fair enough. Just recently, one of the prominent Vancouver hardcore bands, Blue Monday, just broke up and played their last show, and that kind of got me thinking about the state of hardcore today. So I would kind of just like to know what you think about the hardcore scene. Like, how is it doing? Do you feel that it's thriving or that it's slowly dying or fading out?
It depends a lot on the angle you take.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm 30 years old and I've been around for a little while, and you know, you kind of see just the trends of hardcore come and go. Like right now, or at least in the last, I'd say in the last year or two, you've seen a lot of bands just completely blow up. You know, like it was like 5, 6, 10 years ago, I would have never guessed that, you know, people I knew that played in hardcore bands would be on MTV and Much Music regularly. You know, that it's just an odd thing. So in that sense, that's definitely changed hardcore. As far as like hardcore bands coming and going, it's kind of been the way it's been, you know, for a long time. Like very few bands last past like two records, you know. Like I can think of so many bands that, you know, come out strong, they put out the two records, and then they decide to call it quits for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's an ever evolving scene, I guess. Like there's no formula or anything. It's just and the whole mainstream thing's kind of playing a weird role in it too right now, just because it has blown up so much.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that a lot of hardcore bands that are making it onto like the mainstream channels like MTV and stuff, do you see that as a good thing? Like, do you see that as promoting hardcore? Or do you see that as like taking away from the scene?
I totally think it's a great thing, but at the same time, where there's pros, there's going to be cons. That's what music is all about. Just like, you know, or and that's not what it's all about, but that's a big part of it. It's just like taking it as far as you can. I mean, if you have, you know, a million people that want to listen to you, awesome. If you've only got 1,000 people that want to listen to you, you know, that's just the state of like music. Like, I think the more people that have an opportunity to listen to music that they probably would have never ever found out about is great, but at the same time, it kind of waters down what is special to those that have been around it for a while. Because I think a lot of people that have been around hardcore for a while are really jaded with it right now, just because of the mainstream success, and just it just seems like that thing that they held so special, which, you know, they felt so close to, and like had friends that were such a part of it, just seemed like such a community that's kind of been infiltrated somewhat by the masses. So in that sense, you know, there are people that get bummed out on that, but it's, I don't know, it can go either way.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough. All right, so in the States, you guys are signed to Victory Records, is that right?
Right.
Recently I've heard a lot of bad press about the label's manager, Tony Brummel. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about some of this stuff, like the iTunes thing he had with Steve Jobs?
Yep.
Yeah, and also there was that lawsuit that Hawthorne Heights filed against him. And they actually said in a manifesto that he is a man whose greed knows no bounds, and that he also cares more about his ego and bank account than the bands themselves. And I also heard that he had problems with other bands, like large bands on his label, like Taking Back Sunday, Thursday, and Atreyu. How's Comeback Kid's relationship with Tony? Are you going through what Hawthorne Heights experienced?
Well, let me just preface this whole thing by saying that the music industry is—I don't think it's any secret to anybody. It's a pretty evil and dog-eat-dog kind of environment. For Comeback Kid, when we were, you know, when we were looking for a label for the next record, and of course we'd have to sign for a couple of records. We knew that it didn't matter who we were going to sign with. There's a lot of labels out there. It didn't matter who we were going to sign with. There's always going to be something we're going to be pissed or bummed about. So it was like, what do we want out of the record label? We realize it's a necessary evil. We realize that it's totally possible we're going to get screwed at some point. But what's the thing that's most important to us right now? And the thing we noticed about Victory was that, you know, they do a lot of ads. They support their bands in a visual sense. You know, you're always going to see ads on MTV and, like Much Music here in Canada. You're going to see ads in Revolver and stuff like that. And to a band that's on the road and touring, that's extremely important because it's just, there's just so much going on that if you have a label that is willing to, you know, get behind their bands and you know, put out those kind of ads, you know, regularly, that helps so much. Now, the whole downside of everything, you know, with the whole, you know, royalties and, you know, money this, money that, it's, yeah, I can't really comment specifically because I don't know, I haven't really, you know, looked too carefully at, you know, the cases that, you know, Hawthorne Heights is presenting. But, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that, you know, I think they're taking it too far because, I don't know, record labels are definitely known to, you know, cut as many corners with bands and pull as many fast ones as they can because, you know, they've got the inside scoop on what money is being spent and whatnot, and the statements you're getting could definitely be falsified. Not to say that's what's happening, but I mean that does happen. It's a fact in the music industry, and it's really unfortunate. But at the same time, it's like with those big labels, you're dealing with big businesses, so you almost have to assume you're going to be faced with some of those, you know, stupid situations.
Yeah, but from the statement that Hawthorne Heights released, like, it seemed a lot worse than, you know, just the usual records trying to make the biggest buck out of each band. Like, they went as far as to say that they never saw any profits from the records that they sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, they said something about they've sold 1.2 million records and haven't seen a cent of royalties.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know the case. Like, I don't know their side completely. I don't know Tony's side completely.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, if that's the way it is, that's absolutely terrible. Because I mean, any band that sells over a million records is, you know, something has to be very wrong with the accounting to not be able to pay a band a dime in royalties. So yeah, I mean. Yeah, there's a lot of bands that, you know, have issues with Victory, and I don't know, it seems like it's a little more than any other label, so I think there's a lot of ground to stand on for these bands. I just hope it doesn't come our way.
Yeah, but how's your relationship with Tony? Like, because I read the transcripts that, like, the exchange that he had with Steve Jobs from Apple, and it seemed like he was being a real jerk. Like, he was just asking for special treatment, and he wanted, like, a certain percent of profits before he would release the rights for Victory Records music to be put on iTunes, which just seems like a little, you know, like, iTunes is going to help your music. I don't see why he would be asking for, like, money before that.
Right.
And he was asking Steve for basically, like, special treatment for Victory Records beforehand. Does he rub you guys the wrong way, or are you guys, like, on good terms with him?
It's, okay, Victory, like, they haven't really done things to us in a, like, directly in a terrible way. Like, we're not a big band on the label. Like, we haven't sold nearly as many records as some of those bands, like Atreyu, Hawthorne Heights, et cetera, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we haven't had, you know, the brushes with what could have been and all this, like a lot of those other bands are. But there's definitely things, I mean, for instance, iTunes, like, that's only going to help, you know, certain things. And he does, you know, like to push his limits with what he can try to get other people to do because, you know, he's basically, he's out to win, you know. He's fighting all these battles and he'll do anything at all costs. He doesn't really have any sympathy for who he's up against, you know.
Well, okay.
He has to win at all costs kind of thing. So in that sense, it's kind of unfortunate because, it can make the bands look bad.
Uh-huh.
For example, the whole Hawthorne Heights supposedly trying to be number one, you know, in on the Billboard charts by, you know, pulling some fast ones in stores by hiding other records or stuff like this. Like, that all goes back to Tony and it reflects on the band, you know. It's just kind of unfortunate that kind of stuff has to happen.
Yeah, okay, that looks like it. Excellent, you guys are coming to Vancouver at the end of September with Bad Religion, the Dropkick Murphys?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my last question is, the way that they've made the posters for this tour, they've set it up so that it looks like it's going to be like a boxing match, like Bad Religion versus the Dropkick Murphys. And so if there really was like a fist fight between the two bands, who do you think would take it?
Oh, geez, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Because the way that I see it...
It's a pretty rough town, and those Irish can get out of control.
So yeah.
They'd almost have to go with Dropkick. They've also got more members, I think, don't they?
Yes.
That might help their situation as well. So I don't know. To be honest, I'd kind of like to watch.
All right, fair enough. All right, then. So thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to do it as well.
No problem. And I guess we'll see you guys at the end of September here in Vancouver.
All right.
All right?
Sure.
Take care. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. This is We All Fall Down. My name is Marielle. That song you just heard was called Kill and Deceive by Figure Four. And before that song was my little interview that I did with Jeremy, who is the guitarist from Comeback Kid and also the guitarist from Figure Four. That's why I played Figure Four. And before the interview, I played Wake the Dead by Comeback Kid off of their album Wake the Dead. Yep. That's about it for me today. Thank you very much to everyone that tuned in and phoned in this week. I really appreciate each and every one of you. Coming up next, we have Robin and Colin doing the Ink Stud Show, the show all about comic books, nerdy things, and all those wonderful things in life. Yes, coming up next week, I have an interview. I'm playing an interview that I did with Liam, the lead singer from the Cancer Bats, and I had quite the good time doing this interview, and I believe he did as well, so you're definitely going to want to tune in next week to listen to that. And just a reminder to check out Comeback Kid this Saturday. They are opening up for Clip 45, The Dropkick Murphys and Bad Religion, that is happening at the Peony Forum this Saturday. Don't forget. Yep, that's about it for me this week. You can check out my playlist online at www.weallfalldown.citr.blogspot.com. I'm done. See you guys next week.
Tune in to CITR Friday afternoons from 2 till 3:30 for Radio Zero, where your host DJ brings you an eclectic mix of new international pop, ranging from the most fashionably disaffected to the brightest sugar-coated music around, along with a good measure of vintage new wave, punk, and disco to kick off your weekend. That's Radio Zero, Friday afternoons at 2 on 101.9 FM, CITR.
CITR podcast update number 2.
Work has begun on Canada's Information Highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. How much construction has been done?
We haven't had to do any construction, actually. Mostly it was just getting servers to host all of these audio files and then software to be able to deliver the podcast to the listening public.
And where does a satellite fit in then?
There's no plan to use satellites at the moment.
For more information, visit CITR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.